title of the sermon for today is Religion of God. Religion of God. And it sounds very generic, but as I was preparing last couple of weeks, this is a paradigm shifting kind of phrase. Religion of God. Do you believe in religion of God or religion of men? Okay. Religion of God is a phrase stated by John Stott, English expositor. I'm not going to explain how central his teaching is in 20th century, but he is. He called Christianity and the gospel the religion of God. Okay? Which embraces God's plan and God's grace and God's initiative. I was fascinated. I always say Christianity begins with God. Christianity never begins with you. It begins with God. If you know God, it's because of He reached out to you. Never the other way around. Okay? That's God's religion. So if that's God's religion, the man's religion is what? Your duty. Come to church once in a while, right? And you feel like you need to live a better, good life and responsibility, and you took the initiative, you take the achievement, which leads to nothing but emptiness in your heart. And I really love this phrase, and as we are jumping into the core, the thorax of Galatians' gospel, we are right at the heart of it right now. And I really don't want you to miss it. Because for you to miss it would be really sad. Because this is Galatians' gospel. And some of you are, you know, right along with us. And some of you, just, I really encourage you to be part of it. And Paul is explaining still the same thing, which is the truth of the gospel, which just say salvation is by faith and faith alone. Sola fide. Is that what you believe? Some of you do, and some of you don't, actually. I know a lot of people inside the church do not believe that. Okay, Christianity is a, just look up here, a gift of God. Do you like a gift? Oh yeah, I'll take it. If it is free, I'll take it. But you know what? The Christianity goes against everything of who you are. Everything of who you are. You know why? Because of two things. Number one, because of your human nature. Human nature, your basic human nature is sin nature, and sin is written all over your DNA. Let me just pause for a second. I know I'm offending everybody. Okay? Sin is written all over your DNA. I don't need to teach you how to sin. You know, babies are here, the children are here. How many parents did you teach them to sin? Okay, and they sin, no problem, right? Because they are your children. Yeah, exactly. Sin is written all over your DNA. And sin by nature is something that you don't want to have anything to do with God. So you want the grace of God? You really don't want it. You want your sovereignty, your personal, you know, life, and that's all you want. All you want is nobody to bother me. Think about it, people. That's your nature. So this whole teaching of the gospel of God giving you a free gift, you do not want it. It really kills your pride. Okay. The second reason it is against everything, this whole gospel is against for you to believe, is because all the other religion is man's religion. Are you listening? I'm sharing something very, very paradigm-shifting thing, I hope. All the other religion is man's religion, man's achievement, man's effort, man's way to save themselves. And let me just state very, very clearly in the beginning. Scripture clearly states that's impossible. You could never save yourself. We're talking about 13th anniversary, okay? I don't know what 13 years means to you, okay? It means a lot to some people. They devoted their life here. Okay. We're going to introduce four elders who has been elected in English congregation in this church. And all of them have been here over 10 years. 10 years, people. Think about it. June said, my entire 20 was spent at New Heart. What a boring life, right? He spent everything here at New Heart. That's it. But let me just tell you something. If you think about your life, your 20s will soon pass, and you're moving into 30s, and you begin to gain weight, right? You begin to get a little tired easily, and you begin to don't want to go out on the weekdays anymore because you have work next day. You begin to feel it, okay? And then your 40s and 50s and your 60s. We think we are invincible. We think we are immortal on this side of eternity, but you are not. Let me just tell you something. And I wanted to tell you this because I'm going to be talking about history. Do you think about history? Do you think about what's happening in Russia and Ukraine? Do you think this war will end? Do you think this war will expand? Do you think this war will affect us? A lot of times, all we care is about our stocks. That's really sad, isn't it? If you think about it, really, really sad. I'm sharing this because I came to the States in 1976. I'm going to just pause for a second because I want you to do some math. 1976, I came to the States. I know many of you are born in the 90s and even 21st century, so you have to go backward, okay? Backward. I was 14, and I came to the States, and it's been 45 years. History and your life is in the hand of God. Today, I want you to see the gospel of this free salvation from the history, entire history. I want to introduce three people you would recognize their names. Abraham, Moses, and Christ. Okay? These are like the mountaintops, like, you know, Everest. So you should know these names. Abraham and Moses and Christ. And they are not contemporaries. In fact, there are hundreds of thousands of years apart. Abraham was someone who existed 2,000 years before Christ. 2,000 years before Christ. Moses came into history 450 years later. Do you see the difference? Okay. And then Jesus came another 1,500 years. Jesus finally came. And Paul is describing in today's text, in this core of Galatians' gospel, through the history, he is describing the gospel remain the same. We think we are very, very special, right? And after 2,000 years, Jesus came, another 1,500 years went by, and Martin Luther came. He fought for the same thing. Another 500 years went by, and that's where we are right now. And people are fighting for that. Because we tend to follow man's religion, which will lead to death eternal. Okay? So, Scripture states it very, very clearly in Galatians 2:16, by works, no one will be saved. That's your condition. By works, no one will be saved. Starting from Abraham, in fact, it goes back all the way to Adam. Abraham, Moses, Christ, Paul, Martin Luther, and Jun Hong, all saved by one condition, saved by grace and faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Could you think about that? We go to church 20, 30, 40 years. How many of you went to church more than 20 years? Could you say amen? I know there are some people who went more than 20 years. Let's try again. How many of you went to church more than 30 years? Could you say amen? Wow. I'm not going to go any further. I don't want to embarrass you. You could go to church 20, 30, 40 years, still not know the truth. Still not saved. You're nothing but just doing religious, man's religion. your achievement. You go to church once in a while, and you give here and there, and hopefully you will raise up your children kind of like a Christian boy, Christian girl. That's man's religion. God's religion, starting from the beginning, is dealing with Abraham and making promises. Can I just explain? Do you remember the story of Abraham? Abraham was from Mesopotamia, Euphrates, Babylon, or current Iraq. So he was a Babylonian. He wasn't even a Hebrew. And only thing we know about him is his father was a someone who makes idols, actually making idols. And that's all we know about him. Would you think with me? Why did God choose Abram then? No reason. Just by grace. No reason. Can I ask you, why did God choose you? How come you're sitting here? And I share this in KM service. There are probably more than 1,000 people went by, come and gone through this church. 1,000 people. 1,000 people, folks. We used to do a retreat, Light of Love Minute, America, and more than 1,000 people went by. They had a chance to hear the gospel, an opportunity to walk with Christ. And I'm not saying everybody's not walking with the Lord, but out of 1,000 people, you sit here today. Why did God choose you? If there is any reason, it's the same reason God has chosen Abram. It's by grace. I consider myself standing here today really, really blessed and favored because I had moments. I had past history that God really should have removed me from this pulpit. Even right now, unless he shows favor upon my heart and my life, I don't think I'll be standing here and hopefully preaching something that matters to God rather than something that you want to hear. That's why I'm preaching what I am preaching today. Sin by nature, you want nothing but your sovereignty and autonomy. You don't want to have anything to do with God. And yet, God's salvation grace is nothing but a gift of God. Okay, do you see the tension? So today in the core section, in today's text, in Galatians Gospel, Paul really hammers this free salvation through history. So I'm going to explain again. Abraham 2,000 years ago from Jesus. Moses 450 years later. Jesus AD BC. Okay? Another 1,500 years, that's Martin Luther. Another 500 years, that's you and I. Do you follow? So it begins with Abraham, the story of Abraham. And basically, God has chosen Abraham and began to make this kind of promises. Promises. I'm going to bless you, Abram. I'm going to make you special. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars. And I'm going to make kings come out of your descendants. You know what? In fact, through your seed, through your son, all the nations will be blessed. Are you listening? That's really, really extravagant. Making this kind of promises. That's how it all started. And yet Abraham believed, and that God counted as righteousness. And that's how he was saved. And then there is Moses. Do you remember that? How did Moses come about 450 years later? After Abraham, contrary to all the promises that God has made to Abraham, it ended up Abraham's descendants, 70 of them, went into Egypt. And they became slaves. And for the next 400 years, they stayed there, and they grew, they became slaves. So 2 million people came out of Abraham's family, and basically they were all slaves. So what happened to the promises? That's when God raises Moses. And through signs and wonders, fighting against the most powerful army of that time, more powerful than United States Army, more powerful than Russian Army. It was the Pharaoh's army, and God, through signs and wonders, and take them out of slavery, and bring them to desert, And they go to Mount Sinai and listen and make second covenant. First covenant was the promise. Second covenant was not promise. It was a different kind of promise. As Moses is an intermediary, basically, now I want you to do this. Thou shalt not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, and you shall not commit adultery. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. So what's the difference? The first promise is, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to do it. God speaks to Abraham directly. But the second covenant is through a mediator. And basically, instead of God saying, I'm going to do it, he's saying, you do it. Do you see the difference? That's what Paul is explaining. What is the conclusion of Paul's story? Basically saying, God's promise never changes. Basically, what he's saying is, Christianity and the gospel is the gospel of Abraham, gospel of promise, gospel of God. It's not man's religion. It's not man's obedience. It's not man's, achievement. Do you hear it? So you do not add anything. So let me just explain today's text. It's very difficult, but it's not really beyond your comprehension. But you need to focus it, because otherwise you will not understand a single thing that is written here. Now, here's what I want to explain. People say, do we really need to understand this kind of gospel to be saved and go to heaven? I would say, no, I don't think you don't. I don't think you do. However, would you think of it this way? If this is unnecessary, why would God write through Paul, written like this, and try to speak to you? Do you hear me? You could go as a minimalistic person. Do I need to know this to go to heaven? Or perhaps you want to know, I want to know more about God's grace and salvation. Okay, so if you could just listen. To give a human example, brothers, even a man-made covenant, no one invalidates or annuls it or add to it once it has been ratified. Verse 16 is the key. Now, the promises that was made to Abraham, and it was made to Abraham and his offspring. Very, very important statement. He made a promise to Abraham 2,000 years ago, but there is another person, one person, that God made a promise. That's what Paul is saying. The promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring, singular offspring or seed. It does not say, and to offsprings, plural, referring to many, but referring to one. Do you see Paul is trying to make a strong point here? Very, very important point. In fact, this is very, very vital for you to understand the gospel. Okay? Promises were made to Abraham and another specific person, and it's not many people, but it's one person, and who's that? And to your offspring, who is Christ. Wait a minute, that's 2,000 years later. That's 2,000 years later. But Paul is saying, by the inspiration of Holy Spirit, that promise that was made to Abram was made to Christ 2,000 years later. Now, would you think with me? When we say we believe, we become one with Christ. That's 2,000 years ago. Is that possible? How many of you do believe that you are united with Christ by faith? Would you say amen? That's 2,000 years ago, people. But Bible is saying the promise that was made to Abraham 2,000 years ago before Christ was made to Abraham. What a key statement. Abraham, Moses, Christ, Paul, Martin Luther, and then there's you and I. You know, one of the things, one of the glories of the Bible is, a lot of times we tend to think Bible is just a whole bunch of stuff meshed up, and there is no, single message. It's about morals and ethics and things like that. No, you're completely wrong. One of the things, one of the glories of the Bible is there is an amazing coherence from beginning to the end. If you be fair and study the Bible with an open mind, you'll be shocked how from Genesis all the way to Revelation, which took about 1,500 years, more than 40 authors in three different continents, has one theme flowing, one coherent theme flowing all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It's amazing, people. It's very, very historical. It's not fairy tales. If you read the Old Testament, kings and countries and battles and fights, just like Ukraine and Russia. And if you read the Bible carefully, God is in control of everything. We call that sovereignty of God. What about your life? How did you end up here? How did you end up at New Heart? Do you consider this as a blessing? I don't know. Sovereignty of God. God is in control of your life. God is in control of history. Pandemic is not an accident. New variant is not an accident. War in Eastern Europe is not an accident. There's an absolute plan of God, and it flows from Genesis, from Abraham, all the way to Revelation, and all the way to the end. But the theme remains the same. The coherent message is God save his people through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know him? I want to be a doctor. I want to just get married. I just want a husband like June. Then I'm set. Is that your dream? Pretty sad, isn't it? Because when you stand before the Lord, you're not going to stand with your spouse. You're not going to stand with your children. You're not going to stand with your pastor. You're going to stand alone, people. That's the premise. You need to hear the gospel. Okay? So Paul hammers through the history, basically through two covenants. One is with Abraham, which is a promise. That's unilateral grace. Grace is always unilateral, always begins with God. It does not start with you. God single-handedly and unilaterally chosen this man who's a idol worshiper basically from Babylonia, and basically, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your children as numerous as stars, making promises, promises, and promises. But here is the amazing thing is in verse 16, that promise that was made to Abram had another party 2,000 years later. That's Christ. Could you pause for a second? What has that got to do with my life? What has that got to do with my salvation? Everything. That's what we're trying to speak to you. Everything, people. It is through Jesus and Jesus alone you'll be saved if you're saved. That's what the scripture is teaching. Okay? The promises were made to Abram and to his offspring. It does not say to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And who's that one? And he very specifically mentions that, to your offspring, and who is Christ. It's an amazing truth. Nicely divided by between 2,000 years. Abraham, 2,000 years before Christ, and then Christ, and 2,000 years later, there's you. We become one with Christ by faith. And that promise that was made to Abraham was to Christ, and it was completely fulfilled. In fact, here's the gospel. If you are in Christ, because you are in Christ, that promise made that was made to Abraham, he has made it to you. That is the gospel. I know it takes time, because that's not what we think about. That's not what we talk about. That's not what you're living for. But that's what the central gospel of Galatians is. And it is by promise and promise alone. Then what is the purpose of the law, which I'm going to explain next week? Could you think with me? Who is the giver of the law? God. Therefore, it is good. Law is not a bad thing. You shall honor your mother and father. How many of you think that's a good thing? Would you say amen? How many of you think that's a terrible thing? Honor your mother and father. What about thou shalt not kill? How many of you think that's a great thing? Everybody. The law really reflects the moral nature of God himself. In fact, that's how he wants you to live. And if you do that, you live like a human being. But here's the message of the Bible. You cannot keep any of it. How many of you honor your mother and father? Let me make you guilty. Do you honor your mother and father? Do you really? How many of you murder someone? The Bible says, Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you have committed murder. How many of you are not guilty of that? How many of you are not adulterous? Let me make you guilty. Because the law reveals you're guilty. That's the purpose of the law. That's what we're going to see next week. The law and the word of God, it reveals your sin, it provokes your sin, and it condemns your sin. Wow, that's a horrible thing. It reveals you're a sinner. It provokes your sinner. Let me explain what that means. Here's an example. There's a grass, beautiful grass. And before I see anything, I don't want to step on that grass. But there is a sign that says, do not step on the grass. Oop, all of a sudden, now you want to step on the grass. That sign provokes you to sin. It's not that God is making you sin, but through the law, God is making you realize that you're a sinner. Do you follow? So the law is very, very important. Without law, you do not see that you are a sinner. Can I just ask you, would you be honest? How many of you believe that you deserve to go to heaven more than Mr. Putin? Would you say amen? You are liars. You probably think you're better than Putin. Can I just ask you? How many of you think you deserve to go to heaven more than those bad gangsters out there? Probably all of you. Deep inside. You know why? Because you do not see what is really going on in your heart. But the law and the Spirit convicts of your sin. It promotes, it provokes you to sin. It condemns you to sin. Right? So what's the purpose then? Because you realize you are a desperate in sin and need, now you will seek a Savior. That's Jesus. Without the law, you will never go to the gospel. Without preaching of sin and judgment, you will never go to Christ and Calvary. Okay? Today, in this course section of Galatians' gospel, basically he's explaining that salvation by free gift of God and faith alone is from the beginning all the way to the end and even right now. If you're believing in other false gospels, man's religion is going to lead you to death. Are you listening? It is only by grace we could be sitting here and begin to hear what we need to hear. And because the law and the Spirit will humble you. Okay? What's the difference between man's religion and God's religion? John Stott explains, if you could just listen to this. God told Abraham, I'm going to do this. But through Moses, God spoke to Israelites, you do that. Do you hear the difference? One is God's religion. I'm going to do it. The other is man's religion. You do it. Both from God, right? So the promise, okay, seeks your humility and faith. That's all it is. You cannot really earn promise. That is the religion of God. It is God's plan, it is God's initiative, and it is God's grace. If you're sitting here as a believer, broken, it's the grace of God. Whereas the law seeks for you to obey your duty and your responsibility, which you cannot keep any of them. That makes you guilty. How many of you feel guilty inside? Would you be honest with me? Are you ready to stand before God on your own terms? You feel guilty because you seek after man's religion, my own achievement, my own serving, my own giving here and there. Man's religion will lead to death. It's the God's religion, the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves. Okay? The promise is standing for grace and only for you to receive it and believe it. Whereas the law standing for the works of men, but it's for you to achieve it and you to master it. Do you hear it? Okay. God dealt with Abraham in the category of promise, grace, and faith. That's Christianity. Not duty, command, and works, and guilt. That's man's religion. Okay. His conclusion is basically saying this. The promise is God's religion, and Christianity is God's religion, Abraham's religion, and the promise is superior to the law. You can never save yourself by your own terms and the law. Okay? So I'm just going to close with what's the purpose of the law? What's the relationship between the promise and the law? Both are from God, so they cannot be one is good and one is bad. They're both good. Both has purposes. Promise is the gospel that he has given, which was fulfilled in Christ, and it was confirmed through the law. What about the purpose of the law? I just shared with you. It reveals your sin. It reveals your need. Chloe just testified, all you need is nothing. And all you need is need. Did you hear me? All you need is nothing. You cannot bring anything, but all you need is need. But how are you going to see the need? Through the law. Through the Spirit convicting of your sin. If you are an okay person, if you're a decent person, you don't need a Savior. That's why you don't seek Him. That's why He's not precious to you. That's why He's a secondary to your job. That is why He's a secondary to your family. That is why He's a secondary person to your relationships. It never works like that, people. Law and the Spirit humbles you. Okay. Next week, I'm going to explain the purpose of the law next week and pray that those of you who do not see the need of Christ will really come to that humble state, because history is passing by, your 20s are passing by, and your heart is hardening as you resist this message and the grace. You know, somebody shared on Friday night when we were doing Bible study, you are not a neutral person. You are never a neutral person. You either love God or you despise God. Can I just ask you, which side do you stand? Do you love God or do you despise God? There's no neutral ground, people. Either you are following man's religion, atheists are man's religion, or you're following God's religion. There's no middle ground, people. I want to just come to the conclusion today. Galatians' gospel is an amazing gospel. Everything that promised by grace to Abraham is really to Christ. It was about him. In fact, it was to him, and it was fulfilled in him. Everything is in Christ. So what is the gospel? By faith, you could become one with Christ. So everything that was promised to Abraham becomes your promise. Can I ask you, when you stand before God, thinking that if you believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. That's the promise, right? For God so loved the world, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. That's a promise. How many of you believe in that promise? Could you say amen? And then you died. And then you stand before God, and he said, oh, I was just kidding. I was just kidding. I take it back. I'm not going to stand on that promise. Then what's going to happen to you? You're ruined. Forever. But the Bible, scripture is saying that can never happen. Because God, his promise is permanent. Nothing can annul it, invalidate it. Nothing can add it to it. And that's what he's explaining right here. It'll never change. It has never changed for the last 4,000 years throughout human history. It is only by grace and faith in Christ you could be right with God. And your whole life could be given to him. The key word for today is a promise. Do you believe in the promise of God? Or do you believe in yourself? I know this is a question that really could speak to your heart. Do you believe in the promise of God, or do you believe in yourself about future and destiny? Basically, what I'm asking is, do you believe in the religion of God, or do you believe in the religion of man? One will save, and one will destroy forever, people. Doesn't matter what your profession is. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. Doesn't really matter how long you went to church. Doesn't really matter, people. He loves you, and he's giving you, he's proclaiming the truth to you. Okay. Incredible promise that was made to Abraham by grace was to Christ, only to Christ. An amazing thing is, if you are in Christ, that promise is to you. That's what chapter 3, verse 21 says. If anyone is in Christ, you are Abraham's seed, Abraham's children, and you are the heir of the blessings. That's what it means. Okay. Remember, the promise and the covenant, covenant is God's religion, God's plan, God's grace, and God's initiative. I don't know, another 45 years later, how many of you will be sitting here? It's been 45 years since I came to Christ. 45 years. I'm not talking about 450 years. 45 years. Could you do your math? Add 45 to your age. 75. I don't know how many of you will be sitting here. Can you imagine? You did well. You did okay in life. You managed to get married, and you managed to get a nice house in Long Island, but you lost Christ. Imagine how tragic that would be. You kind of made it in this world. You kind of made it. Your kids went to decent school. You kind of made it, just like what the rest of the world was seeking, but only 45 years later, imagine your soul is gone. You have nothing to do with God. And you are 75 years old. That would be tragic, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, promise of God is irrevocable. Nothing can change it. That's God's religion, and that's what we believe in. Okay? It's impossible to earn a promise. If God promises something great, it's impossible for you to earn. Only thing you can do is trust him and receive it. Okay? Only thing you can do is to trust him and receive it. May this 13th year anniversary be a joy in your heart, I pray. God loves his church. You know that? God loves his church and his people. And if you love Christ, okay, that's what's going to shine upon your heart. Shine upon your heart. Brothers and sisters, Abraham 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, Jesus 2,000 years ago, Martin Luther 1,500 years later, and then you and I, God's plan has been the same. There's an amazing coherence from the beginning to the end. Salvation is a free gift of God and promise of God only through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.